Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so many wonderful things to say to his people. He loves us all. And that's one thing we have to remember about the Lord our God and King. He loves us all. Not just the people who you favor or people who have favored you and people who have been a blessing to you in the past. But he loves the ones that live below your expectations. The people that didn't believe you, he loves them too. The people that didn't help you. The people he told to help you and they refused to help you. He loves them too. He never stops being God. He never stops his ways just because of the circumstances change. Now, sometimes we have to learn things by revelation. When the Lord told me, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil, and it quieted my spirit, it gave me strength to love. And I knew what I finally had revelation of what it meant to live, to do things in God's strength. Now, Paul said that when we're weak, we find out that we're strong in him because his strength strengthens us. I experienced it, and Paul experienced it first. So when I experienced it, I said, what other areas am I not living in God's strength? So when I saw that, that amazed me because I was ready to cuss and fight. I went from way below the negative line to way above the zero line. I went from ready to cuss and fight to ready to, the anger was gone, the frustration was gone, and I experienced something. I experienced him strengthening me. Now, I said, I'm not going to let this go. There's more to this than meets the eye. I don't know how God did it, but when he spoke everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does good or evil, there was no more anger. There was no more fight. But now I'm ready to fight the good fight. I was ready to fight the bad fight. I went from ready to fight the bad fight to wanting to fight the good fight. And the concept lived with me. And I saw, the things that I said, so I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk about it. And we did, and everything was smooth over. Everything was wonderful. But then that day, I said, Lord, I'm going to do this again. I said, I know that I'm not where I need to be. If somebody make me mad, that's what I'll do. So teach me how to love your people. And he started teaching me about people. And the word gives us strength. If you're going to do something, if you're going to come off drugs, come off alcohol, sex, pornography, whatever it is, if you just want to have a temperance, just receive his strength. Receive what Jesus is saying and pray to live by it. Pray the will of God into your life. Speak it by faith. Forgive by faith. When I first forgave, I forgave by faith. I didn't always feel it. But as I continued to do it as a way of life, it got easier and easier from the moment I did it by faith. And Lord backed me up. You know, I forgave I ended yesterday's broadcast talking about how I forgave some of the people that aggravated me the most growing up. The guys who used to take my mini bike or breaking people's houses, people I was mad at, people I didn't like, I forgave them. Then I saw that it pleased God. I forgave the people that used to own my family, the Hambys, the Griffiths, the Brewsters, the Browns, everybody that, you know, the ancestral slaves owner, the ancestral slave owners. I forgave them all. And I saw that it pleased God. It also set me free. I didn't know that was going to happen. When you obey God, other things happen that you don't expect. And I forgave them. And then I said, well, who else am I mad at? I thought about the Klan. I said, well, the Ku Klux, they just people. And, you know, and I thought about how man and sin, they're trapped. I started seeing people different, and I forgave the Klan. If you can forgive the Klan as a black man, you can forgive anybody. because that was our mortal enemy. They didn't like us and the perceptions. But remember, more than people, when people are in a gang, all the people, the gang members, Klan members, ISIS, the local gangs, they're the same thing. They're just people that are trying to operate according to their brotherhood and their views. But guess what? They are also made in the image and likeness of God. They're just rogue right now. Now, there are people who were in the Klan, were in ISIS, were in gangs, and they get saved. So if when I forgive people, then I know I can see them differently. They're people that can be saved. Some of the people that have started revivals came from dangerous backgrounds. And then you see God in an unlimited way. God expects us to love everybody. He told Corrie ten Boom to forgive the Nazis. Now, everybody know the Nazis didn't like nobody. If they wanted your country, you either conformed to their will or died. Or, you know, they'd rape the women, put them in brothels. They did all kind of evil. They killed people. They hated Jews. And here she is, a Jewish woman. The Lord said, forgive them. And a lot of people read her book and they were amazed at that. And some people received the concept and learned to forgive. I remember Mark, he was one of the guys he was one of the coke men. They sold Coca-Cola, came to our grocery store. He ministered to me. He's a heavy reason I got saved, but he told me about Corrie ten Boom. And the concept, and in those days I forgave the Klan before he told me that, so I could identify with what God was saying, and I knew I was on the right track. Sometimes when, as you follow God, you have you learn things you can't learn no other way. The kind of things that I learned from the Lord, I never heard it over the pulpit. Most of it, I know much of it. I learned from the Holy Spirit and obeying Him. You learn greater things when you obey. You know, there's something in the life of every Christian. Everybody should be learning from the over the pulpit, and also their relationship with the Lord, and then also their life experiences after they've received and practice what they learn in the presence of the Lord from their relationship. You learn greater things. You learn in life just like you learn in His presence. When you obey Him because He said it, you learn greater things. And sometimes people can't relate to it. But sometimes the Word is so rich. And when you walk into, if you've been worshiping God and somebody has had a hard day, all right, and then you're in the room, the Lord is in the room, and then they walk in and they bump right into the presence of God. They almost want to run. And they shift gears. They try to get themselves composed to where they get out of that worldly mode and the frustrations of the day. They want to get out of that. And into, see, sometimes when we used to be at the church praying, some people will get there first and they'll start saturating the room with the presence of the Lord, because the Lord always gives grace to the humble. And some people, you know, then somebody else just got off work. They feel like they need to pray because they're frustrated. And they walk in that prayer room and you can see them shifting gears. They start downshifting. Hey, I got to, you know, if you're a mechanic, things come out. But they start getting trying to get in the spirit. Well, I wanted to live in the spirit, and I talk about that all the time. But we're gonna shift gears today. But he taught me how to live in His presence. But it took receiving the word. It took concepts of operating in authority. It took confessing the word. Obedience was an element of it. All these things work together to live in His presence. Well. Also, in yesterday's broadcast, he had me talking about how you can't leave any form of sin unchecked. You have to drive it out. If you know about it, drive it out. You don't put it in your back pocket and try not to be angry. Let's say a person that lacks temperance, or let's say that they are easy to be aggravated, or they get angry, and they like the cowboy. They ready for the gunfight. And I understand that, because I had to live that way growing up. They take your motorcycle, so I'd fight, and you know, it was a protection mechanism, you know. Before I knew the Lord, that's all I could do. But after I met the Lord, I learned to fight His way. Now, and you have to, having fight in you is good when you're fighting the good fight. I learned to not fight the bad fight, but fight the good fight. And I love what Henry Groover said, when you fight spiritually, which is the good fight, there are no casualties. But see, you know, I might get mad and shoot somebody that God could have saved. That doesn't make sense. So it's good to take heed to the things of God and do it. Now, when you follow God and you operate in His ways, you learn more. But you can't leave sin. Don't expect the Canaanites to leave Canaan land. Don't expect old sins that you really didn't kick out. You just try not to practice it. It didn't go anywhere. Now, you may ask the Lord to forgive you, and He did. And you may endeavor to walk according to His word. You did that. That's good. But what I'm saying is, if you don't drive it out in the heat of a moment, it's going to try to come back. And the enemy is going to tempt you to do whatever you were doing, whether it's saying ugly words, speaking profanity, fighting, wishing somebody had misery, you know. I went through a divorce, but I did not ever. I don't wish misery on anybody. I didn't wish misery on my ex-wife. And that, you know, we didn't communicate good. That marriage failed. But there's no reason to hate somebody just because you don't get along. I received the concept, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil. And, you know, talking about the things that offended you, every day God gives us a brand new, he gives us new mercies every day. And so when people offend me, I forgive them. It's gone. And I don't think about it. I pray that they'll see things different, or I pray for that strength, and I pray God's blessings on them, if, you know, when I can. And I, you know, I can't make a prayer. I tell them the truth and speak life, but it's on them then to pick it up and go forward. They can do what they want. They can stay angry. They can do whatever they want to do. But I can control what I do. Now, when people offend you, just forgive them. A man offended me one time. I said, "Lord, what should I do?" He said, "Forgive him." I started laughing. I said, "You're right. That's what I always do." You don't have to be somebody's Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. If they want His help, they'll ask. And they'll knock and they'll see. And that's what I encourage people to do, because He's right there to help you from this point on. He can cause your life to be very beautiful. And He's willing to give us new mercies and not throw our past in our face. He never did me that way, and I believe in not doing others that way. I believe in doing people good only. Now, if they don't want to pick it up and run the ball with it, that's their choice. And I have to respect it. But I can control what I do. But on my part, I'm not going to hold animosity against anybody for any reason, no matter what they did. The only reason I talk about the failures is because it's necessary. Now I've talked about pastors, how God sent me to them with the word saying, "Follow me." And then I had words of wisdom, which is follow God, and tell them how to run their ministry, what to change. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I just pointed them to Him. God, the Lord sent me to you to tell you to follow Him, because He's going to give you your format. He's going to give you everything you need to do His will. And if you follow Him, I show them what God showed me. Well, there was a vision. Most of the time, it was a written word on paper. The Lord gave me a list of things that would happen if they follow him and a list of things that will happen if they don't. Just like Deuteronomy, 28. It was a lot like that, too. But see, if you don't put the things of God in motion, it can't be in motion. All right. If they were doing it already, God wouldn't have had to send me to them. People were governing their ministries based on, most of the time, the concepts of other predecessing, the predecessors, the ministers that before them, the ones that they got saved under. They did precisely what they did and wouldn't budge. They preached in the Holiness Church. In those days, that was a doctrine of bondage. God, you know, everything is God's will. If you're going through, that's just God teaching you not to be in pride. Just stick with it and hold on. And that was terrible, you know. And nobody addressed it. Everybody believed it until they got hurt. Then they left the church and quit going. See, if you don't build with God, you scatter. Then that, sometimes the problem was arrogance. People, most of the time, men just want to do what they got in their mind or whatever they approve. And it's not enough. Even the good thing is not enough. If you love the word and preach the word, that's not enough. Because you need to take authority. You need to speak life. Sometimes people were taking authority. They were in the word, but they preached compromised. What I mean by that, they gave excuses for why people don't get healed still. Sometimes God heals, sometimes he don't. Now, these are just examples. There's a list of things. Authority is not enough. Doing the word alone is not enough. We need to also receive the word from the Holy Spirit, whoever he sends. See, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not just some of the word. If you say, well, I'm just going to stick to the word and read it and I'm going to follow. Well, if you don't include the Holy Spirit, how can he break things down for you? What happens is the unrenewed part of their mind stays unrenewed unless you're guided in the word by the Holy Spirit and trained by the Holy Spirit. Training is important. And they missed it. So forget that. They didn't train by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit told them to do something that was different, they argued against it, forgot about it, and let it slip every time. Except for the ones who heard, who had ears to hear. And when people had ears to hear, the Lord didn't send me to them as much. I wish, you know, it's important. The things of God is true. Authority is not enough. Taking authority over the devil does exactly what it does. But watch this. If you fill your heart with the word, and when you see things that you need to take authority of, you're more apt to biblically take authority over the problem. But if you're frustrated against a person that you're jealous against or upset with or that offended you, you might not take authority. And if somebody, you know, is nagging you and telling, you always think you can change something. You always, people do that. And then you melt down and don't do it. So it's a combination of everything. The Holy Spirit, paying attention to the Holy Spirit is the only way to overcome the barriers that were set by the predecessors, false concepts, doubt, unbelief, lack of training. God will train you. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord trains you, it can be so weird because it's something that you never known. Now, when the Lord said everlasting love, to love a man, whether he does you good or evil, some people would have let that slip. It blessed me, and I wanted to know more about it. Now, this is what I mean when I say hear God out. When the things that the Lord taught me about following God, about loving his people, it enabled me to do much more in life. It helped me in every part of my life. It blessed me. It helped me to see, to do things his way and to sow good seeds instead of evil seeds and fight the good fight, not the bad fight. It helped me It helped me to understand people. It helped me to overcome temptations and lust that men struggle with. It helped me to, I overcame that by the love of God. God trained me to love. So when the enemy launched his campaign of temptation against me, when I didn't know what to do, I was strong. And I would go in the prayer room and pray it off and pray the temptation off and take authority over it like I should. But I said that I was clued in by the Holy Spirit that there was a way to kill this problem. And I talk about that sometimes, so I'm going to keep going. But I learned to master that problem by love. And I learned to get rid of fear by love. And I was able to live with freedom, no matter what I saw, no matter what people were doing on the outside, whether they were frustrated, whether it was women trying to tempt me, whatever it was, the Word of God had me in control, because I learned for once to live in His strength. And I desire this for everybody, but the only way it can be taught, it can't just be taught. I can teach it all day, because I can tell you what happened. But if you don't receive it, it will not work. And if you don't want it, you won't receive it. If you like what you're doing in the world, if you like things of the world, then it won't work for you, because you have to hate racism. You have to hate pride. You have to hate lust. You have to hate temptation. You have to hate greed. You have to love generosity. You have to love people like Jesus loved you, like 1 Peter taught. That kind of love trumps everything. And you can live free. You can live high above the snake line. The snakes can't get to you on the mountaintop. And though you can go around them, you're in the world. You're in the midst of the trouble, but you're not of the trouble. You're able to fight the good fight and be free. And even laugh at things that was an obstacle to you. God said that mountain before Zerubbabel was made a plain, and He meant it through Christ. See, Christ is the linking ancestor to Jesus. He linked the line of Nathan and the line of Solomon. He was kin to Mary and Joseph. He was the mystery Jesus. Before Jesus, that mountain became a plain. So when you do what Jesus said, do, the same mountain becomes a plain to you. My pastor said, how many believe God can do anything? Then he said, well, how many believe that God through you can do anything? And nobody raised a hand. Even I didn't raise my hand. I had to process the question. But I really do believe that God can do anything through me. And that we are not limited. And you got to, you know, if you think you're limited in any way, you got to drive that demon out of your life, because that didn't come from God. God did not give us limitations, period. Pastor McCann is also a prophet. One year he prophesied that we need to think big. And every January he gave us a prophecy as he pastored the church, and he said, you need to think big. So I gave him a word one time about thinking big, and he gave it. And I said, I need to work on that. I'm going to think big. We might be a vessel, but you have to listen and receive and pay attention to what God is saying. Who's perfect? The Lord can show you something. That don't mean you're an expert. You have to. When the Lord says something that I learned from, I don't care who it is. The times that I do better is when I say, Lord, teach me how to do that. Teach me. There's more about it. And you gotta want it. You gotta, you know, we don't process things. We process things. If we stay in the Word, we're more apt to process things according to the Word. We're always on earth. So if you're not in the Word, you also unknowingly process things according to your surroundings. And I can. The scripture proves it. Abraham took on a concubine after he was 10 years in the land of Canaan. Now, he wouldn't have done that when he first got there. He would have said, no, we're not doing that. But after being there 10 years, when his wife suggested he have a child with her handmaid, then he agreed. So it's important to hear God out and do what God said do and understand him. And you know, God knows more than we do. That's a terrible understatement. I mean, that's just a king-size understatement. He knows more than we do. He knows way more than we do. But people go by how they feel and how they process. But when you take God at his word, he's able to do even greater. Now, I mentioned earlier, the reason I'm bringing these things up is because I know for a fact that there were two pastors. Their ministers would have been over the top. It would have been a blessing to the whole city if they had followed God. And they did it that way. They didn't follow God, not to his standards. They usually do more of what they thought was right. That's not what God was saying. God, and see, people are making these mistakes. Now, I don't want to see it continue to happen. I know of pastors back then that got fired from God's best, and pastors currently, they got fired too. And they don't know it. When Samson told his secret and they cut his hair, he shook himself. He didn't know the anointing was gone. He didn't know he had turned his anointing off. But he got it back for a moment. I'm gonna tell you something. This is why they got fired. It takes training. God, they wasted too much training time. God, the time it would have taken for God to train them to do that, to do the revival that he wanted to do in their life. And not just the revival. See, a revival, that's when you bring to life what had died. You things that were dying, you brought it. You know, a man on a cancer bed, on his deathbed, he gets healed, then he gets up. He's revived. All right. A church that was asleep, you woke them up. They revive. But God would have showed them how to live a breakthrough life in life. Their whole life would have been the revival all along. And they would have been able to train people that were used to what was contrary to God. They would have learned how to help people come out of indoctrinations. And it would have taken time. They wasted the time, the training time, when they didn't allow God to train them. And they took what I said lightly. But they thought they were looking. They said it was just me. They thought it was just me, I guess. But they had a reference, because when God would send me to them, he gave me a word at home. I usually write it down, and when I get to church, they're preaching half of it. See, when there's a reference, you're about to miss a visitation if you get caught up in, well, that guy too young to tell me something, or he didn't go to Rhema or whatever. People think that way. They don't know I was in the prayer room, just as good as any college you can go to. Just as good as ORU. In the presence of God, you're talking face to face with the Lord. And now he's giving you an assignment. All right. If God gives somebody and anybody an assignment, guess what? That means that he already tested them. He already tried them. He already prepared them. And they can do whatever it is they're doing. But if you disqualify the messenger, you disqualify Jesus who sent him and God who sent Jesus. You can't disqualify the messenger without disqualifying God too. It's impossible, because this is what